inspiration. I do it all with no hesitation. Fuck a punchline, I hit him with a comment.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to episode 97 of All In With Kevin. I am your host, Kevin Lewis. In today's episode, I'm going to speak about NFL training camps opening, Kyler Murray's new contract, and the work study clause that comes in it, how that ties into Lamar Jackson's current situation, and a little bit about fantasy football and the Jets. So Kyler Murray signed a $230 million contract with the Arizona Cardinals for, I want to say it was 5 years. Yeah, 5 years. 5 years, $230.5 million. And it came out yesterday that there's basically a clause in his contract that requires 4 hours of independent study per game week. I haven't heard the term independent study since I was in high school. It's been so long, and I'm old, so like, imagine it's a long time. Like I was not in high school 3-4 years ago, so I haven't heard it in a long ass time. And hearing that with an NFL quarterback who just got a $230 million contract is absolutely insane to me. And before I get started on the Kyler and the Cardinals part of it, let's put this into perspective. Deshaun Watson, as I call him, got a contract that has guarantees stay in place if the NFL suspends him. Kyler Murray has to make sure that he goes home and he studies every night so he doesn't lose his. Think about that for a second. Now, as far as the Cardinals and Kyler Murray with the contract, I feel like if you have to, granted, there's two different ways to look at this. Kyler Murray is so talented and so good, albeit flawed, despite him apparently not studying film. Or the fact that you had to put a clause in the contract to incentivize him to study film. You can look at the positive, you can look at the glass half full, you can look at the glass half empty. Honestly, both of them are remarkable. But I've never heard of a work study clause in a contract before. Like, there's been goofy clauses, there's been weight clauses, there's been like you can't play basketball clause. Those are pretty standard. I've never heard, hey man, you got to do your job. Now, granted, like Kyler did say in a piece for the NY Times last year that he doesn't feel the need to study film because he has the cognitive ability to just read it when it happens on the field, which is wild because I'm sure he's not the only one who thinks he has that. So, like, but other people study film anyway, so they're more prepared. But that's neither here nor there. The interesting part is why this part of the story leaked. Because, Arizona and Kyler were at odds at the end of the year. You had the stuff leaking about how he's immature, how he's not all about the team, da da da, which all of this stuff leaks for a reason. It's not just accidental. Like, they were engaging in slander in public. Like, that stuff leaked in public. You know, Kyler had the whole, oh, I'm going to remove everything Carlos from my account, from my social media account. And you know how that goes in 2022. I hate even bringing that here like it's news, but it is in 2022, right? So they were going back and forth in public. Now, Arizona signed him to that contract, and they still leaked this information because they wanted you to see this. There's no two ways around it. Obviously, Kyler's people didn't want you to see this shit. Kyler doesn't want the negative press around, hey, he doesn't study, he doesn't work hard, even though, like, He probably does, but like film study is just not where he gets his reps. He gets his reps on the field. Like, I don't think you become that good when you're 5'10" or whatever Kyler Murray is by not working hard. He just does his work in different areas, in different ways. So Arizona wanted, and Arizona was, I picture this as Arizona being so at odds with Kyler Murray that they were willing to take their own PR hit to dunk on him some more. Because releasing this after you give the guy the $230 million doesn't make you look good. So they were willing to take their own hit to dunk on Kyler some more, which can't say a lot about the relationship between the two entities. Now, we could say that Arizona maybe just be incompetent and they think that releasing this is a good look for them, which, I mean, that's possible. It's possible that they're that tone deaf, that they think releasing this is a good look for them. That oh, hey, we're whipping our quarterback into shape. They might think that, but no. Like, you gave a guy $230 million that you have to pay to work. That you have to put a clause in his contract that he has to work. That's not a good look. And they leaked that. No, and I'm assuming they have PR people. They leaked this knowing, or at least in my view, knowing that it was likely that they get bad PR as a result. And they did it anyway because, well, they don't seem to be very happy with Kyler Murray.
And you talking about you upset. Well, I want to see what it's like when you get angry, okay? You show me that.
So, we'll see how that works out. Kyler Murray is obviously a very talented quarterback. I do find it interesting that pretty much every year he falls off in the second half of the year. I don't know if that's a him issue. I don't know if that's a people adjust to him issue. He doesn't watch film, so maybe that's the in between the lines advantage that other teams get. Maybe it's the coach. Maybe it's everything. I don't know, but we'll see how that works out for the Cardinals. He's obviously a talent, and you know they got him some weapons this year. Like assuming once DeAndre Hopkins comes back, anyway, they got a pretty good receiver core. So we'll see what happens with it. As far as Lamar Jackson goes, I've said this on this podcast before. I feel like this whole he doesn't have an agent thing. Yeah, sir. It there's definitely some negatives. Some of the stuff that you hear released about Lamar every day, well, not every day, but often enough about his game, how he can't do this and he can't do that and he isn't this and he isn't that. I'm assuming that an agent would serve as a buffer of sorts, and some of the stuff wouldn't see the time of day, and you know you'd have more positive stuff being leaked about Lamar. I'm assuming that that's the case, and that's where not having an agent hurts. You know what I'm saying? Like, and maybe the endorsement money behind the scenes, like maybe Lamar would be getting more endorsement money if he had an agent. I'm not sure. I don't know. There are definitely reasons to have an agent, and there's definitely reasons why having your mom as an agent or having no agent will hurt. I'm not arguing any of that stuff. Now, people seem to be convinced that he doesn't have a contract because he doesn't have an agent, or that he needs an agent to negotiate his contract. No, he doesn't. No, Deshaun Watson just got $230 million guaranteed. I don't know how many of the dollars are guaranteed in Kyler's contract, but I'm going to assume that it's most of it is guaranteed if he just, you know, shows up to, excuse me, does his own independent study behind the scenes. So I'm assuming most of that is guaranteed. Lamar does not have the risk associated with Watson, and Lamar is clearly a better quarterback than Kyler Murray to date. Come into the room with both of those contracts and say, look, pay me more than those dudes and figure it out. Maybe you need somebody to look over the contract terms. Like once they counter with it, okay. Understood. You know, I'm sure his mom could do it, or he could get a lawyer, whoever. Like you don't need somebody to negotiate. Lamar Jackson's contract negotiation is the easiest thing going. And quite frankly, any quarterback who is up is kind of easy right now. Because whoever the last dude is, I want more than that. Like, it's not complicated. Whoever the last dude is, give me more of that. Give me more than that, excuse me. That's it. It doesn't seem to be hard to me. But it feels good to be talking about football, don't it? August is right around the corner. Training camps are opening this week. You know, I'm a fantasy football head. I know not all of you are, but I am. That stuff is around the corner. I'm excited. I'm excited to get it going. And on the fantasy football stuff, since the training camp stuff is opening, just some a few general notes / I guess advice you want. I know it's training camp season, so I know it's lying season. Like, I know you're going to get he's in the best shape of his life. This guy's, you know, running backs are splitting out all the time in training camp and this, that, and then, and Tua looks great and all kind of lies. I mean, I'm joking on the last one a little bit, but all kind of lies you're going to get as far as training camp goes. But, and I know I'm saying this right after saying you're going to get a bunch of lies, but look, some of them is the truth. You have to weed through it. And this, obviously, this is from a fantasy perspective. Some of it is the truth. You have to weed through a lot of bullshit to get to the truth. And it's much like fantasy football as a whole. It's educated guessing, like who's telling the truth, who's not. And hey, if this good offensive coach says this good thing about his good offensive player or his potential good breakout player that we don't necessarily know yet, yeah, it's probably worth listening more than, like, I don't know, Ron Rivera saying that Antonio Gibson is going to be Christian McCaffrey like he did last year, right? So pay attention to beat writers. I don't know. I have a list on Twitter featuring a lot of different fantasy writers and some beat writers and all of that. So I would suggest doing that personally. Maybe not make a whole list, but you know, turn the notifications on for like 5 people, 6 people. So you're getting fresh information as the training camps are in session, right? So I would do that. Pay attention to what you hear. Like, obviously, I'm not saying you gotta believe all of it, as I said before, but pay attention. Like, some of the best things you can get from fantasy football, and some of the best things you can get market wise and cashing in on the market is through training camp reports and beat writer projections and all of that. Like, James Robinson a couple years ago was a nobody, and nobody really cared about James Robinson. But if you paid attention to Jaguars camp, like, he was pretty good. And granted, I mean, not many people are paying attention to the Jaguars, but still, he was very good. And hey, if you got him in round 12 that year, like I did all over the place, you benefited greatly. And yeah, that's like a best case scenario. And not everything's going to go like that, but sometimes it is like that. Sean Payton told us to draft Michael Thomas a few years ago. He went off. Aaron Rodgers told us Devontae Adams was about to break out before he did. He went off. And yeah, you can name 100 cases of people lying, but hey, so the good can be really profitable. And then hey, on the other side, like, sometimes panic can be profitable too. Remember last year when Ja'Marr Chase apparently was Stephen Hill and couldn't catch? How'd that work out? That ended up being profitable because he didn't forget how to play football, bro. Ja'Marr Chase dominated the SEC as a 19-year-old. I don't give a fuck if he dropped some passes in training camp. I don't care. But everybody cared. And he ended up being like 7th round, 8th round kind of pick in every league. And hey, if you're like me and you drafted him in a bunch of spots, he won you some money because he put up a historic performance in the championship round if you got there. So pay attention to the reports. Buy the dip. And you should be all right. And as far as actual drafts themselves, you know, once we get past the training camp and all of that, make a tiered rankings. Even if you don't want, if you take this seriously enough, like, I know some of you just draft, and I'm not knocking y'all. This is not really for y'all, but make a tiered rankings. Like, it'll keep you organized, and it'll make drafting a little bit more clear for you. Like, you don't necessarily have to, like, oh, is this guy better than this guy? Like, all right, if 2 guys are left in tier 2 at running back, and, you know, 6 guys left in tier 2 at wide receiver, okay, I probably should take one of the running backs then. Stuff like that. Like, it makes it easier to draft. Like, you keep yourself more organized, you keep your head on straight, you keep yourself grounded while the draft is going on. So make tiered rankings, follow training camp reports, and buy the dip. Those are the 3 things that I got for you right now. Obviously, as the summer progresses and we get closer to football, I'll have more for you. I'll have position previews and all of that, but for now, take those 3 things, write them down, listen to them. And as far as my favorite football team in real life, in real football, unfortunately, it's the New York Jets. Training camp starts for them today. This is being recorded on Tuesday. Look, all I want to do is have fun. Like, that's kind of the whole, it just narrows itself down to that. Like, all I want to do is have fun. I'm not asking for a lot. I'm not asking for anything outrageous. I'm not asking for a Super Bowl win. I'm not asking for an AFC title game. Hell, I'm not even asking for a playoff appearance. It would be nice, but I'm not asking for a playoff appearance. I'm just asking that the Jets are a watchable, fun product. The Jets have not been a watchable, fun product for 12 years. It's been largely miserable. Like, 2015 was cool. I didn't enjoy it in the way other people did because you had the Ryan Fitzpatrick factor and the inevitability that he was going to light the season on fire, which he did. And the fact that he held the team back the whole year, but that's neither here nor there, right? All I'm asking is have some fun. Like, Elijah Moore should be fun. Garrett Wilson hopefully should be fun. You know, hopefully Zach Wilson is even remotely competent. That would be cool. He should be fun. The defense has improved. Sauce Gardner should be fun. Jermaine Johnson should be fun. All I'm asking is for some fun. I'm not asking for anything other than baseline competence, and me not wanting to turn on the game and fall asleep. I don't think I'm asking for a lot. I don't think I'm being unfair. That's all I'm asking. These training camp reports are what they are. I know I just went on a spiel saying we should care. I'm not saying necessarily that we shouldn't, but I just don't care that much. The training camp reports, also to add to what I said earlier, I think usage stuff is probably more important than actual performance. Like, you know, for example, in Buffalo Bills land, like, if you hear that Khalil Shakir, who they just drafted in round 5, is getting all the slot reps, your antenna should go up, right? If you hear that Khalil Shakir caught 15 passes, nobody cares. Like, he's not catching no 15 passes in no NFL game, unless everybody just gets hurt in front of him. So usage probably matters a little bit more. Obviously, like, the effusive praise that a good offensive coach has for a breakout player, as I said before, matters too, but usage probably matters more. But I don't care if Zach Wilson throws 3 picks. I don't care about any of that stuff. Like, how they use Breece Hall, how they use Michael Carter matters. How they use Garrett Wilson matters. Garrett Wilson versus Sauce Gardner is a matchup I'm intrigued by in training camp. You know, how they use the different defensive packages, what they're doing there. You know, how they use their secondary. All of that stuff matters. How individual performance nuggets in practice, just, it doesn't move the goalposts for me. But all in all, man, look, before I get out of here, all I'm asking for the Jets is, I don't want the Jets to play a brand of football that makes them enticing to insomniacs. That's it. And on that note, I'd like to implore you to listen to the middle initial podcast with myself, Andrew L. Case, and Jude A. Jackson, as we discuss current sports topics. Rate, review, and subscribe for that podcast and for this one, and I will see you when I see you. I've been living with a curse, and now it's all about to end. But before I go, say hello to my little friend.